And that was the drop of Shador Sanders.
Yeah.
It almost became must-watch TV because not that I had that much of an emotional interest in where he was going when it became clear that the Jets had no interest and the Giants already made the decision on Jackson Dart.
Well, not just the Jets and the Giants. I think a lot of teams had no interest.
Clearly. And that's what I couldn't get over. So I believe in Shador Sanders. Who the hell am I? I'm just some guy on the radio. I watched a little bit of him. And my takeaway, as I said to you guys, was I think he'll be a good quarterback right. in the NFL.
And by the way, I agree with you. I think he will be a good quarterback. But his fall was not about him as a quarterback.
Why did he fall?
I told you this on Thursday. Thursday. When teams are drafting quarterbacks in particular, they are looking, one, for a really good player and a guy who can be a leader, but they're also looking for face of your franchise. And that is a presentation. That is how you present yourself publicly. It's how you talk to people behind closed doors. It's just like, what is your conversation interaction going to be like with the media? Because that interaction is going to determine the fans' public-facing face to us as an organization. And I think he just failed that. I think he just did it really poorly.
With every team.
With almost every team.
Because that's the only thing I could come up with is that...
Well, I know he did with the Giants.
Well, and that report came out that right. Brian Daboll, we all got a preview of it last year when he was quizzing quarterbacks about different things, that he was quizzing Shador Sanders.
Yep.
Shador wasn't prepared. Dave's called him out on it. And I don't know what Shador did, but the report was Shador didn't handle it well.
Right.
So, okay, I can see that, and I could see why Brian Daboll, after that interaction, would be like, look, kid's got a lot of talent. I can't work with him.
Right.
I'm not confident I'm going to be able to work with him. He didn't even take this well. But are you telling me that happened with every team in the NFL?
I don't know other coaches' personalities, but I know Dave's is going to give it to you. He's going to tell you exactly what you're doing wrong. We all remember this when in his first year with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones throws that interception, trying to squeeze it into Saquon Barkley in the corner of the end zone. He throws an interception. Dave's gets right into his face and says, make better bleeping decisions. Right? Simple as that. Like, hard coaching. Not like, hey, you know what, kid, here's what you need to do. Next time, let's try. That's not Dave's.
Right.
And so if you can't take hard coaching... And that's what kind of coach that Dave's is. You just can't work together. Like certain other coaches are just more passive, and they want to nurture, and they want to be I don't know, coddling to you and help you grow on your own pace. But that's not Dave's. So I guess maybe that's, I don't know what kind of coach Shador needs other than his father. Because let's face it, the only person that's coached him since he was in high school was his father.
Right.
And so like. Hey, Deion knows how to coach him. Does anybody else know?
So every NFL... Now, how many teams did Shador Sanders meet with?
I don't know. I don't know that question.
Because this is what's so crazy about this story. At the beginning of the draft process, he was clearly a top three or top four pick.
Yeah, but you have to realize...
So there were probably teams who didn't meet with him because they're like, yeah, what are we meeting with him for? He's not dropping to us.
But there's also a lot of teams that just don't need quarterbacks. The Cardinals don't need a quarterback. The Falcons don't need one. The Ravens don't. The Bills don't. The Panthers don't. The Bears don't.
Yeah, but that doesn't stop them from taking a quarterback.
The Browns do, and the Browns ultimately ended up taking them.
But I got to counter this. The Philadelphia Eagles took a quarterback. They don't need a quarterback. Teams take quarterbacks and develop backups.
Yeah, in the seventh round.
Well, he was dropping. At what point does a team say to themselves, we didn't even meet with him, so we don't know how bad the meeting was.
Well, you're not going to.
This guy's such a talent. He was a first-round talent 3 weeks ago.
I think there was so much noise around him that if you didn't meet him and you didn't know what all that noise was about and could either discredit it because your experience was different... then there's no way you're touching it.
You were scared. You were 100%. Scared off by the fact that right. everyone else was scared off
yes.
by whatever happened in those meetings. Look, I still think Shador Sanders has a chance to be a good quarterback in this league, but I would be in denial island if I didn't sit here and say, he clearly effed up those meetings.
Yeah.
He clearly did. There's no other reason.
There's no doubt about it.
Because I don't want to hear every other excuse I've heard over the last 48 hours, I could put a hole right through.
Right.
Oh, the Sanders family. Oh, the attention. Oh, dude, if the guy's got talent, you will be drafted.
Yeah.
But clearly, he was such a turnoff in these meetings that teams at the top of the draft said no thank you, And then you're right. It probably trickled down to everyone else where they're like, well, if that team is scared and they're desperate for a quarterback, we don't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't know where he would have landed. I'm just looking through all the teams right now that needed quarterbacks, and none of, like, they don't make sense. Maybe the Jets did because of the Justin Fields question mark and the backup. The backup's Tyrod Taylor, but you know what I mean.
The Jordan Travis.
But he's also a question mark.
I would have taken Shador, man. I mean, clearly the Jets had no interest, and right. Not only did they have no interest in him, they didn't have any interest in any quarterback. They didn't take anybody.
No, you're right.
It's not like they took a flyer out in the fifth round.
I just don't think there was a natural, easy, this is a good place to take a risk landing spot for Shador Sanders. As a result, he fell. What the hell the Browns were doing, I have zero idea, because two running backs and two quarterbacks in your 2025 draft make no damn sense unless you don't care about winning 2025, and you're gearing yourself up for 2026.
I think I know what it is, and you now have an experience in this because you are in our fantasy baseball league, all right? You got your draft board, mm-hmm. You make your picks, and you're not very high on name the player,
right.
Whoever it is. Pete Alonso. You're just not high on him. Yeah, I don't think he's going to react well to the pressures of another contract year. So he's down on your board. You're like, I'm not going to draft him. And then the rounds start to go by. And at some point, you're like, wait a second.
I guess we just got to take him now.
Don't I have to take him at some point?
That's what
I think the Browns did.
Sean and I did with Francisco Alvarez.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We're just like,
nice home run to start on seven.
We just got to take him.
Yeah.
Because he's there.
I think that's what the Browns eventually did. They're like, screw it. I know we took Dylan Gabriel, but you know what? Let's throw another quarterback in there.
And what was interesting, because I grinded through every pick on Saturday watching the coverage of this, Ian Rappaport came on TV and said the Philadelphia Eagles are prepared to take him, and that is when the Browns traded back up and took him. So he could have been the Eagles' backup. Wow. Later they take Kyle McCord. Hmm. That probably would have been a better spot for him.
It definitely would have been a better spot, because I think in Cleveland, there's a chance he could win the starting job.
And what's wrong with that?
It's just going to be – I predict a very bad situation in Cleveland. I just do.
Because of what, though? You like the coach. You like Stefanski. So what's the bad situation?
I just don't think they have a good team. And so I don't know what they're doing.
I am now.
Why do you draft two running backs in one draft? I'm serious.
Right.
Why do you draft two quarterbacks in one draft? I get why teams have done that in the past.
Oh, I think the quarterback thing is explainable. They're throwing another lottery ticket.
But when
you
do it like first round, sixth round, that's one thing. When you do it third round, fifth round, what the hell's the point?
I think it's, let's throw it up against the wall.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is.
I guess so.
I think that's what their thought is. I am so fascinated now to watch this kid's career. Who's ultimately going to be right about the Shador Sanders fall?
Sean, can the Cleveland be in Hard Knocks?
Yes, they can.
Dude, that's the Hard Knocks.
Yeah, give me Cleveland Browns Hard Knocks.
That quarterback room with Deshaun Watson's whatever lingering around it, he's not going to be there because of his Achilles, with aged Joe Flacco, who's 40 now, or close to it, Kenny Pickett, who is a failed starter in Pittsburgh, and he's bounced. Now he's a journeyman in like 3 years, and then two draft picks in 2025. That quarterback room is crazy.
That is going to be fascinating.
And he's a good offensive coach in Stefanski. So that's interesting to me.
Let's go to Patrick in Melville. How are you, Patrick?
Hey guys, how you doing? So this whole Shador thing is kind of fascinating, because you look at it this way: Johnny Manziel basically was like caught doing drugs the night of the draft, and they had to like fight Jerry Jones from not drafting him, and the Browns drafting him. Now Shador Sanders, coming off cocky, you would think you'd want your quarterback to be confident and just be and like. I talked to other Giant fan friends of mine and some Jet fans of mine. They're like, "Oh, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole." So I'm like, "Okay, so what? Because he's cocky? That's a reason." So it kind of just makes you wonder, like, it just makes no sense, because he's literally probably the second best-rated quarterback in the draft. And to basically, it had to do with ownership, basically, is telling these coaches not to touch him. That's the only thing that can make sense.
Yeah, maybe. But first of all, Johnny Manziel was not caught doing drugs. People thought that Johnny Manziel, with a rolled-up $5 bill or something in a bathroom, which was weeks before, was doing drugs, but it was never identified. Johnny Manziel's issue is that he was just a knucklehead. He didn't care about preparing for the game. And that was both in college and in the NFL. Like, you just saw it. But I think with Shador, it's deeper than, you know, not wanting him because he's not a good player. Because I think Cam Ward was the only sure, you know, top flight quarterback in this year's draft. Everybody else had a question mark. Every other player, every other quarterback, there's, well, I don't know about this. Well, I don't know about that. Cam Ward has a desire to be great. You saw it in all the pre the pre-draft interviews, the social media stuff that was out there, Shador was acting like a clown half the time. And we think, because social media has taken over our existence, all of us, all of you, watch some mindless nonsense on Instagram or TikTok or whatever the heck social media platform you're on, and you're somewhat entertained by it, right? That's the world that Shador Sanders thinks he lives in. And if I was an owner of a franchise, a $1 billion franchise, and the success or failure of my team depended on this particular position, this particular player, and this guy only cares about entertaining people on a social media platform, sorry, dude, you're not of interest to me.
So
because your interest isn't winning. Your interest is being a star.